So I just turned 39 a couple weeks ago. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. It's okay if you missed it. I'm still accepting gifts. Just keep them under $100. It'll be fine. Yeah. You know what I'm learning as I get older and I move into new seasons of life, that being an adult is a lot like being a child. The difference is that adults learn how to fake it, right? You're all faking it. I'm faking it. Faking that we at all know what in the world we're doing. It's like I wish you could see you. You're a little nervous right now. I think I realized this in a more concentrated way when my mother died 4 years ago. She was my only remaining parent. And really the only remaining family on my side. So that was a tough loss. But on a practical level, I just didn't have any other adult in the family telling me what to do. You know, how do you deal with a funeral home? How do you handle banks and assets and probate and debts? When she died, I was suddenly thrust into this new stage of and season of adulthood, and yet I had never more felt more like a child in need of an adult. And there are plenty of moments in ordinary living in which I'm honestly not sure what I'm doing or what I'm supposed to be doing as a working adult with a wife and three children, one of which will have her driving permit in a month. Not to mention owning a home that was, you know, built 50 years ago and it's decided to let us know. It's, you know, there's time to upgrade some things. So it's almost as if I need a wise, faithful, holy presence to shepherd me through these confusing, anxious, and often dark times of life. Oh, yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. It's unfortunate, at least in my opinion, that Psalm 23 has been turned into a cross stitch that hangs on the walls of our home next to other plaques and pictures as if it's just another frameable platitude for life. And I don't say that to shame you. If you indeed have it cross stitched and hung on the wall of your home, I still can picture the one in my grandmother's home. But it's just to say that this psalm is so much more than crafty decor. It's power and fierce and striking, and there's violence and darkness, and there's the threat of death. And you think, are we talking about the same psalm? You know, Psalm 23, sweet King David, still waters, soul restoration, anointing with oil and all of that. And yes, same psalm, but again, it's not an item of decor to adorn the walls of our home, but it's a mighty work of poetry and prayer and song that's meant to drop into the depths of our hearts and souls and do war with our selfishness and our self-centeredness and sinfulness, and to remind us that it's in the darkest of places that though we are as feeble as sheep in a world of slaughter, we are not without a Savior. We are not without a shepherd. Though we are as children, we are not without an adult. St. Augustine said, when you say the Lord is my shepherd, no proper grounds are left for you to trust in yourself. And thank God for that, right? I don't know about you, but it wears me out trying to trust in myself, trying to live into adulthood while veiling the childhood. In other words, it takes so much energy to try to live life on my own. And these opening words of Psalm 23, if anything, are an invitation to stop that, to live another way. But first, we have to ask ourselves, are we really living another way? Are you really? Or is it that the shepherd, he is the shepherd of our Sundays, our Sunday lives, our tidy religious box that we take out and then tuck away when we get back home, and nothing more. Is he really the shepherd of our schedules, of our relationships, of our singleness, of our parenting, our work, our sex and sexuality, our bank accounts? Do we see him as the shepherd of every moment of life and present to our frustrations and our pain, our fears, present to our impatience in the car, changing diapers, caring for loved ones, folding clothes, having a difficult conversation? Another way to ask the question is, are you actively practicing a life of trust in God? Because the reality is that we're a mess and we're prone to make shambles of our faith at any given moment. Being a follower of Jesus isn't synonymous with 100% faithful living. Why? Because we're messy mortals, as my childhood pastor used to say. And so the question isn't, have you arrived? The question is, are you practicing? Are you practicing resurrection? Are you rehearsing the goodness of God in your life? Pardon the cheesy metaphor, but with the Spirit of God as your stage director, are you rehearsing love and joy and peace? Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Are you practicing a life of trust in God? So I don't know much about farming and livestock. Maybe some of you do. I'm sure all of you know more than I do. Though I do have a dog who I can't keep from digging holes in the yard, and a cat who poops on the floor beside the litter box. I'm taking suggestions for both or a home, you know, if you would like the cat especially. But I recently read that on some farms in Australia, and I'm sure it's in the U.S. too, but on some farms in Australia, the land is so vast and arid that farmers don't build fences to keep livestock in, but they keep their animals close by digging wells. And you know, sometimes I get the sense that we, Jesus followers, look out on the landscape of our faith and see fences that aren't even there. And what that false view of our faith actually does is it erodes our trust in the shepherd. We focus on boundaries and we focus on dividing lines and we lose this realization that his leadership, his shepherding of us is what keeps us safe. And instead of beating us into submission, what his shepherding of us looks like is more of this gentle invitation to the next well, to the next water source, to the next spring of life. He leads me beside still waters. So I don't know if you need to hear this. I assume someone does, but I'm going to preach to myself here for a moment. We don't have to have it all figured out. And on any given day, you'll find me at some point wrapped up in the anxieties of life, of parenting, of money, of home repairs, or the way I let down a friend, the way a friend let me down, a family trouble, struggling with doubt and shame and fear of feeling like a failure, feeling like a terrible father or a phony priest, trying to live up to the expectations of myself and others and constantly falling short and feeling overwhelmed and alone. But Christ, who is, as Gerard Manley Hopkins poetically said, plays in 10,000 places, is no stranger to those places, is no stranger to these depths, to these valleys of death. Christ comes to me there. He doesn't stand on this high precipice of the hillside. He journeys down into the belly of the muck and the mire with me. And he says, here too. I can be here too. You're not alone. You're not without help. I am the guide and the way. I am the rope and the cam and the belay, the one who belays. I am the good shepherd. And instead of fixing all of life's issues, which is what I think is best for me that he would do, he anoints them with the oil of blessing, which is what is best for my eternal self. He says to me, you know, your chaos is within the boundaries of a fence that you cannot comprehend, so stop looking for the fence. Stop bracing for the storm. Stop watching for the wolves. Instead, drink. Drink from this wellspring. And I don't know about you, but what that means for me is to rehearse the certain things of heaven in this uncertain life on earth. To love, to forgive, to make peace, to listen for God to speak and to answer him when he does. To pray both when I feel close to him and in the dark nights of my soul. To give, to live with eyes wide open, to see his indelible presence in every holy and yet ordinary moment. To find his sacred thumbprint in the lives of others. To sing my heart from sorrow into joy. To sing my heart from pain and into comfort. And to sing for others as well. The wild savagery of the world that threatens to undo us is tamed by an even wilder God. David understood that well when he wrote Psalm 23. So there was a time as a young man that David was working to convince Saul that he could and he would go out and face this giant Philistine warrior, Goliath. And he said to King Saul, he said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. And whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it. I'd knock it down and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it, and I'll do the same to this Philistine. So when David says of the shepherd, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, he doesn't have in mind a sweet shepherd standing atop a hillside with a gentle breeze blowing through his robe, you know. No, this is the imagery of a warrior, of a shepherd who stands in the gap with weapon at side, ready to kill the beast that threatens. And this is why I said earlier that Psalm 23 is power, and it's fierce and striking and more than just this sweet cross stitch, because it tells us that the good shepherd is not content that we should be protected, but that the enemy actually be destroyed. It is Christ laying waste to death, laying waste to those things which threaten to undo us. It's no separate thing that the previous psalm, Psalm 22, begins with the deep and guttural lament that Jesus cried out in agony from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? His cry is our cry. It is our lament, our longing in the valley of the shadow of death. It's our limited sight and fear that all is lost, that we are alone and that there is none to help. And God spends no time, little to no time, in providing his answer. Our cries for help come with the turn of the page. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord, the shepherd, is here. Our good shepherd, the one who conquered death, conquered sin and the grave. What looked to be forsakenness was the conquering capitulation to the beast. His agony was a subversion of the evil that only seemed to succeed, and Christ destroyed death. He broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan. Where? Under his feet. Psalm 23 is sweet comfort, yes. Don't get me wrong, but it is also magnificent power and strength. It is the God of the universe waging war with the prince of darkness. And God wins as a young shepherd man pelting the Goliath. He wins. And so, friends, we need not be adults. faking it through life, but as children. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." Do you suppose that he was only referring to children by age? Or perhaps in knowing and seeing what we do now on this side of the cross and resurrection, can you see that the invitation to us all is that we come to him as children? As the children we so often feel that we are, vulnerable, broken, unknowing, inexperienced, children in need of the adult, sheep in need of the shepherd. So lately I've taken an interest in the idea and practice of praying the Psalms. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I've never really considered it before. I think I've probably heard the phrase a few hundred times and it just goes way over me. It's just been one of those Christian-y things you hear in the church, you know. But it does truly for me feel as if Jesus has recently put his finger on the book of Psalms for me and said, "Stay here a while." So I won't go into all that means to pray the Psalms. And to be clear, this is not a new practice of our faith. And Jesus prayed the Psalms. It was the prayer book for Jesus. They were Israel's prayers, and they function in our faith as prayer for us to take up. But in regards to Psalm 23, one of the practices of this is to take a psalm and to write it as your own. And so I want to offer that to you as our closing prayer. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Lord, our good shepherd, help us to see that you are the fulfillment of all things, that our every want and desire culminates in your person and presence. Lead us to what will make us more human, to still waters, restored to the people of Eden who knew you best. Restore what has been lost and taken from us. Restore our hearts, our hands, our homes. Restore our souls. And in the darkness of this world, the perils of this life to come, when death comes to frighten us into submission, fight back, O shepherd, against the beasts who seek to devour. Comfort us by the might of your power and the weapons of your love. And when we come face to face with you, may we find that you have long been preparing for us a seat at the table, awaiting our life to finally unite with your life. Let us know now of that the blessings that await, the bread of eternal satisfaction, the water and wine by which we will thirst no more. So set up your home and prepare your table, O Lord. We, the sheep of your own fold, look forward to our forever, our dwelling with you, our good shepherd. Amen.